has been on my heart here as we cross over into this year. One of the possibilities of a new year is that I believe it could be the day for our Lord to return. And so I invite you to come with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Our text is going to be verses 10 through 14. Although we may refer to other areas in this passage because it's so connected, but I'll just choose to read for sake of time 10 through 14. So I invite you to stand together. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 14. Scripture says, but the day of the Lord will come as a, say that with me, thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, how many is looking for such things? Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray that you will speak and minister. Pray, God, that this year we will be captivated by your coming. God, that we prepare our hearts and that we stay prepared and that we live in light of eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say this morning. How many know some folks can misunderstand the sermon? I was thinking it would be great if everyone just understood our words and we would never have to clear up a misunderstanding. How many's ever had to clear up a misunderstanding? I have. many times ministers' sermons misunderstood or misinterpreted. I remember reading recently about a pastor who used live earthworms in his sermon as a visual aid. And he took the live worms and put one in a jar of alcohol, one in a jar of cigarette smoke, one in a jar of chocolate, and one in a jar of fresh soil. And at the end of his sermon, the worm in the alcohol was dead, the worm in the cigarette smoke was dead, the worm in the chocolate was dead, the worm in the soil was alive. And so he asked his congregation if they understood that sermon illustration. And a dear lady from the back, she spoke up and said, well, Pastor, said it means that if you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. That was not quite the message he had in mind. Praise the Lord. But as we look at this passage in 2 Peter, my conviction grows that this world that we're living in, and as we know it, just can't last much longer. Right? Do you share that conviction? And you say, Pastor, do you know for certain that Christ will come back in your lifetime? My answer is no. I don't know that. And neither does anyone else. How many know date setting is a mark of a cult? But here's my challenge. To anyone serious about this topic, read the Bible and study what it describes about the world situation when Christ does return. And then go pick up the current newspaper and read it. I believe you'll be amazed at the similarity between the Bible and today's headlines. And I believe the overall situation in the world today is very similar to the situation the Bible describes for the days leading up to the end, the return of Christ. Now, I'm not going to pretend to understand everything in this third chapter of 2 Peter. I'm not going to pretend to. It reminds me of the story of Pastor D.L. Moody. He once said, I'm glad there's a depth in the Bible that I know nothing about. Because he said it shows that it's got a divine author. And one time a man came to Pastor Moody with a very difficult passage and said, Mr. Moody, how do you explain this text? And Moody replied and said, I don't. But how do you interpret it? Moody said, I don't interpret it. Well, how do you understand it? He said, I don't understand it. Well, what do you do with it then? Moody says, I believe it. Amen. Right? And that's what Christ calls us to do with the promise of his return, with his coming kingdom. Believe it and live captivated by it. The coming of Christ in his kingdom is really mentioned in the New Testament over 200 times. It's the most repeated theme seen in almost every New Testament book. And the question is, why did Christ feel it necessary to present the theme again and again and again? And so in a moment, I want us to revisit a couple reasons why I think the Lord wants us to keep his coming and his kingdom on our minds this year. If you can recall a few years back, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, the Mayan calendar dominated national news. Anybody remember that? The world, some predicted, would end. Maybe it was December 21st, 2012, I believe. And many, many, many folks jumped on the end of the world bandwagon, right? Those of us who know Scripture knew that December the 21st, 2012, probably would not be the end of the world, simply because many people were expecting it to be the end. And Christ said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Peter said, Christ will come like a thief in the what? And so we're not surprised. We're not supposed to just be ready for him to arrive. We're supposed to be ready. We're not supposed to just get ready. We're supposed to be ready at all times. And I thought it interesting this week. I read about a little boy who had been to church and he'd heard his pastor talking about the rapture and the upward journey of the believers. And that next week, he was allowed to accompany his dad on a business trip, and they had to go to a large skyscraper in downtown Atlanta. And as they entered, they had to go to the elevator, and they ascended to, at lightning speed. And this was a big thing for this young boy. And I mean, he noticed when it passed the fifth floor, and they kept going. It passed the 10th floor, and it shot past the 20th floor. And, I mean, like a rocket, they kept going up, up, up. And as the elevator passed the 40th floor, the little boy looked at his dad and said, Daddy, does God know we're coming? And I thought, well, the question is, do we know he's coming? He's coming whether everyone knows it or believes it. Could the year 2017 be the year that Christ returns and changes come to pass? Certainly possible. And when we open the passage before us here, we read some of the most exciting, but yet it's disturbing. It's disturbing news. And one thing we know is that God does not lie. Amen. And all he has said about the future, how many believe it will come to pass? Just like he said it would. Our job is not to grow weary in our waiting. Recently, I read about a man who went to a hotel room at about midnight after a long, important business meeting with a client that lasted all day. He was so exhausted, he sat down on the bed and took off his right shoe and just kind of dropped it loudly on the floor to realize, hey, that was being midnight. That's kind of thoughtless, seeing that somebody's in a room below him trying to sleep. So he took off the other shoe and he gently placed it on the floor. About an hour later, someone woke him up knocking on his door. And he went to the door and he stood there and seen this tired-eyed man. And he said, this man said, I'm from the room directly beneath you. I need to get some sleep. Would you please drop the other shoe? I'm tired of waiting for it to drop. And I thought, as a church, it may seem like we're waiting for the last shoe to drop. But more than that, church, we are waiting for someone to come. His name is Jesus, and Peter is trying to tell the church that. And as the time grows nearer for our Lord's return, our world, how many know it's getting more religious, but yet less Christian? I said more religious, but less Christian than at any other time in history. Satan has always had a counterfeit religion. And more people have fallen for it, I believe, in our day than any time before. In fact, Scripture said it was going to be like this. The New Age, how many's heard the New Age? New Age believers have been scammed by the old devil's lies. And some have taught that we can just create a new and perfect world if we'll just minimize the negative and embrace the positive energy all around us. The truth is, there's going to be no end to war. There's going to be no end to the hatred and selfishness and crime and disease until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. Don't get me wrong, there is a new world coming, and it's probably nearer than we want to believe. Huh? It will not be long till Christ comes in the clouds of glory, and then will come to pass the biblical prophecies. For example, it said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. And so today, everyone is seeking an explanation for the bizarre and some of these end-time events. Many people, they turn to Satanism, astrology, numerous Eastern religions, government leaders, movie moguls, Wall Street tycoons, average guy on the street. They're all looking for how to explain some of the end time events. And Muslims, what do they claim? Well, they claim the 12th Imam is going to arrive and set up the Islamic State. But the Bible informs us that one of these days, Christ, he's the one that's going to come, and he is going to clean up the mess that sin has created. Some people think that the most difficult mess to clean up in this world is nuclear waste and from the weapons and energy plants around our globe. But how many know that's going to be child's play compared to the cleaning up of the sin problem that mankind has created? And the green movement, I know it's a huge movement around the world, and I believe we should care for the planet that God has given us. However, the biggest mess on earth is not just water bottles and plastic bags. Hello. The biggest mess is the sin problem and the tragic consequences that it created on our earth. And Christ will come, the Bible says, and rid this world of sin and its results. And the church used to be captivated with this idea of the return of Christ. But I think in recent years, heaven has kind of fallen out of favor. Our attention has turned to things like prosperity and pleasure, and a lot of preaching has emerged to scratch itching ears that wanted to hear it. But I pray in 2017 that we will fall in love with Jesus again and fall in love with heaven again and fall in love with his return again, because as this world grows more wicked and anti-Christian, we're going to find ourselves longing and desiring the return of Jesus. As the prophet John said, he said on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's look here this morning for just a few moments, a couple things regarding the coming of Christ and the end of the world system as we know it. Okay, sister, where's Sister Widdock? Is she here? I'm going to take my watch off for Sister Widdock. You had to be here Sunday night to get that. Number one, the message of his coming, number one, comforts us. And that's shown to us in verses 3 through 7 of this text. It comforts us from the aspect that he is coming to rescue us. Because here, how many's noticed our culture is getting more hostile to faith by the day? Hello. Our culture scoffs at the idea of a coming Savior and coming judgment. You're looked at as a weirdo if you believe in this. Hello. In such a world, we must not be surprised when things in this life don't work out the way we wish, because sometimes the way we believe, I know they're not going to claim this, but they may stop you from getting a promotion because you're that holy roller and you believe in a Savior coming back. Hello. And that this work, hello, that's happening. It's happening in our nation. Because, but Peter's saying, don't be surprised by that. Because here's what you got to remember if you're a true blue child of God, that this world is not our final home. All of us who know and love Christ must live in this sin-cursed world till he comes for us. And one day, child of God, he is going to take us home to be with him. He is coming to rescue us. And when he saved us, he took the world out of us. But when he returns, he's taking us out of the world. And you see, the first time he came, he was placed in a manger. But the next time he comes, he's going to come in majesty and splendor. The first time he came, he was rejected. But this next time he comes, he's going to rule and reign. The first time he came, they put a crown of thorns on him. But the next time he comes, he's going to wear a diadem of sovereignty. The first time he came, men took the Lord into their hands, but the next time he comes, they're going to be taken into his hands. And the first time he came, he was crucified, but the next time he comes, he's going to be crowned. Why? Because he's going to come back just like he said he would. The first time he came, he stood before Pilate, but the next time he comes, how many old Pilate's going to stand before him? Listen, Luke 1:31 says there's a prophecy of Gabriel the angel that told Mary of his kingdom, there will be no end. Oh, I want to be in a kingdom of no end. Listen, everything Gabriel prophesied has come to pass except one thing, and that's the kingdom being set up on earth forever. But I want to tell you, everything else Gabriel said happened. And I believe this part's going to happen too. Be assured, Christ will come and he will reign. Oh, child of God, don't you be discouraged. I said, don't you be discouraged. He will rescue us from this evil world. So, the first point I said was the message of his coming comforts us. The second point is the message of his coming compels us. The biblical truth is meant to stir up a hope in us and to keep us from getting anchored to this world, tethered to this world. Now, I want to break that down even further. Something that compels us is this coming destruction. Huh? Everything that human beings we can get attached to, all that we hold precious and valuable, all that we labor a lifetime to obtain and to enjoy. How many know Peter says it's all going to melt? Somebody turn to your neighbor and say it's going to melt. I know it's kind of hard to believe on such a cold day like this.
Try to imagine it.
All the Wall Street firms, all the banks and computer headquarters, United Nations will vanish. Fort Knox and all of its gold is going to melt. Peter says when the time of the end comes, all the things that we depend on, my goodness, our GPS gadgets that guide us to our destinations, they're going to fail. Our digital age will come to a screeching halt. Military headquarters will cease to exist. Hey, folks, even Walmart will be no more. We have all heard about the housing meltdown. There's coming a real meltdown. Hello, literally. Most people give their entire lives to things that's going to be gone in a moment. That's why the poet said, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There won't be manufacturing plants and skyscrapers, bridges, tunnels, and airplanes and trains. There won't even be ashes left. The Greek word for dissolved, used here by Peter in this text, means to loosen, break up, and melt down. In other words, God is going to break up the party. Hello? He's going to tear loose people from everything they've sought after in this world and then melt all earthly things in this burning flame of heat. Revelation 14, 14 through 6 says that he that is seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. He will harvest all the souls from this earth. So we should be compelled to go out in the highways and the byways and find those who do not know the Lord. Listen, friends, let's share our faith with somebody in 2017. Why? Because Jesus is coming. I know that many people find the message of judgment to be a cruel one, and they're repulsed by the idea. But listen, what they miss is the love in this warning. Hello? They miss the love in the message, because anyone who knows of a coming disaster and does not warn others and share it is actually the one who is cruel. Hello, the doctor tells the patient about the tumor in order for the patient to get treatment. Government agencies warn of a coming tornado or a hurricane to cause people to seek shelter. Parents warn their children, don't play in the street, so that it'll keep them from the horror and the mayhem of being struck by cars. And the ones who warn are not the cruel ones. To the contrary, they are the loving ones. They are the thoughtful ones. They are the kind ones. And our Lord sends this warning because he loves us. Listen, he sent a Savior to redeem us from this fallen world, and he has provided a way of escape. And those who proclaim the warning, they're not evil, they're not mean, they're not unloving, they're just passing the word and saying, hey, whosoever will, you can get on the train to get out of here. Don't shoot the messenger. Listen to the message and get on with the way of escape. Hallelujah. God's not going to create a new world and not have people to inhabit it. And in every generation, he has preserved a people. How many know every generation there is a remnant? I said there is a remnant of people that he is going to translate into his kingdom. And this world is not our home. So let us all represent the one who saved us with his sacrifice. Believe it or not, Peter says we are to earnestly, check this out, desire, earnestly desire and hasten the end of this present world. You may think, wow, that sounds kind of morbid. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Listen, things will be so bad on earth that Christians, I want to let you know something. I believe in the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. I believe that's all through the New Testament. All the New Testament Christians greeted each other. Maranatha, our Lord doth come. They were looking for it. But if he doesn't come, I do believe things will get a lot worse. Hello? Things will get so bad that we're going to desire. We're going to be praying like John. Oh, Lord, would you come back today? This truth also is meant to stir us up about the kind of people Peter says we should be. Seeing then, he says, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See, I ask you, when you read these words about a great fire coming, a new world coming, where righteousness will reign and be established, do you rejoice? Someone here in this service today may realize that these passages are absolutely true, but yet you know that you're not ready for these scriptures to be fulfilled. But I'm here to tell you, you can get ready. You can be ready. That is why Jesus came, lived, died, and rose from the grave. He came to save us so that we could get ready to meet him. You don't have to miss out on the promises that God has made regarding this new heaven and new earth. Listen, you can be sure that every true believer is saved and will be kept from this judgment coming to this earth if you can get into this, because God has a plan to save you here this morning. And look at what the Lord says to us. The Lord shall preserve thee from this evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We need to see one more New Testament passage. Look at 2 Timothy 4:18. It says, the Lord shall deliver me from the every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Listen, the word preserve here means guard. It means protect and keep and make safe and place a hedge around. God is saying that he will guard you. He can protect you. He can keep you. He can make you safe. Listen, the world, the devil and time and even death cannot separate you from the power of Christ, Paul said. And that's why we can rejoice here this morning, because listen, my hope is not in this world. It's not in a physical hideout. It's in a spiritual. Hallelujah. I almost said it. Here's my last point. This destiny that we're talking, or excuse me, this destruction compels us. But the last point is also the destiny. The destiny compels us. Because look, the lost, Peter says, are destined to destruction, while the saved are destined for deliverance. Ooh. Marinate in that a minute. 2 Corinthians 5:11. He says this destiny compels us as much as the destruction compels us. Listen. Is it wrong to know where water can be found and not tell our neighbors who are dying of thirst? And that's where we come to tonight, and that's where I want to end in this passage, because are you ready for this coming? When the Prince of Wales was making a tour of some very seldom visited areas, I read this week, he decided to stop at a workman's home, just a common man's home. The next day, that common laborer said in an interview, very sadly, and I quote, he said, "I never expected the prince, nor did my wife." He said the house was untidy I hadn't even washed. He says, we shall never forgive ourselves. If we had only known that he was so near, we could have set things in order and been better prepared to receive him. End of quotes. Listen, I've been talking about a day where the great prince, not of Wales, but of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to suddenly appear. And although we know not the exact day or hour, he's promised that he's coming soon. We must be ready. Or we will be just like this laborer. We will be ashamed. Hello. When we stand before him. That's why Peter is urging the church to be constantly watching and living ready. Without blame, blameless. Without spot, cleansed. Because Christ could come back. Some musicians come in southern England. There's a village. Did you know the name of the village is called Tiptoe? That's the name of the village in England. Tiptoe, England. It seemed natural to call it that because years ago, before they had paved roads and sidewalks were installed, it says the muddy condition of the roads and all around in the town made it necessary. People would walk through town trying to stay out of the mud so they would walk on their tiptoes. Can I say that the child of God who walks the streets of this life, how many know we face a similar situation? It's filth all around us. Hello? Moral corruption all around us. But we can move forward on the tiptoe of expectancy. Not only because of its filthy and evil surroundings, but because we are looking, we are waiting for someone who's coming. And Peter said it can be very soon. As we stand together, may we commit to be captivated by Christ's coming kingdom in 2017. Lord, if there is one here this morning that has not surrendered their life to you, Lord, as they have come into this new year, I pray, oh God, that they would not let another day pass by without having prepared their heart for the return of Christ. In Jesus' name, these altars are open. If you're here this morning, and you'd say, Pastor, I can't really lay my head on my pillow and really have assurance that if I was to die or if Christ was to return, that all would be well. I would urge you to place your life in the hands of God before you leave this house this morning. You need him as your Savior, and you need him as your Lord. And that can happen this morning. If you'll put all your trust in him, you admit you need him, you believe that he died and rose again for you, and that he is coming back to receive you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, God bless you. As the musicians sing, would you come forward? This altar appeal is for all of us. Would you come and prepare your heart? Would you be sure you've made room for Christ? Would you place him on the throne room of your life? If other things have crowded him away or crowded him out, this is a new year, and I want you to take advantage of a new, fresh start. Oh, and come close to Jesus this morning. If you're a backslider here, I want you to know we're not here to condemn you. We are here to congratulate you and say welcome to the family of God. If you will embrace Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long till we'll be going home. Count the years as months, then count the months as weeks.